Welcome to my new podcast. Today's guest star is Kwa, a chemical engineering student at National University of Singapore. Hello, Kwa.
Hi, Giovanni.
Welcome to my new podcast.
It's an honor to be in your podcast.
Thanks. How do you know my name, by the way?
Oh, yeah. We did the project together. You don't remember?
Oh, yeah. We did.
Yeah, we did a project together. So why don't I remember your name?
Fair enough. Okay, so why did you take chemical engineering?
I think it's an answer that most of people are going to agree. I've been deceived by chemistry. Yeah, I like chemistry in high school. And then like when I registered to NUS, I choose the first major is to be like life science chemistry. Mm-hmm. And the second choice is chemical engineering because mm-hmm. I thought like chemical engineering is also chemistry, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but actually no. chemical engineering is only math and physics and maybe coding in it. There's nothing to do with chemistry. Yeah, so I think that's the most accepted answer for everyone who is listening right now. So maybe how about you? Why you also choose chemical engineering?
Because I like chemistry. Right? I like chemistry and physics. Then I thought like, what major will enable me to do both? Then I chose chemical engineering. I didn't regret my choice because I still do a bit of physics, but. There's much less chemistry than I thought, honestly.
Yeah, there's actually no chemistry. You know Wang, right? He have to take minor in chemistry just to have some chemistry.
So are you taking a minor in chemistry?
No.
Good to hear. So yeah, you're abandoning chemistry entirely already, lah?
No. I'm taking a second major in CS. Just like everyone else.
So you abandoned chemistry for computer science,
Yeah. Computer science better than chemistry.
Okay. Why do you think so?
I don't know, just for the flow of everybody, like everybody just switched to CS, so I think like why shouldn't I, and then just follow it.
So you're just following other people to become a CS major.
You see, right?
Like a lot of people tell me that they pick CS because there's high salary out there. Right? So, what do you think?
Yeah, CS is definitely high salary. I mean, I know, this is just the normal statistic that I know from another person. So, this may not be true, but I know that some people can get like 8K, 10K of salary just by internship at the company. So, I can see like this is a very high salary. And compared to us, it's like 1K, 1K5.
2.2K if you go ExxonMobil.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I hear from my friends in business analytics, some companies will pay them 5K per month.
Business analytics, yeah.
I mean, like in here, it's a computing course.
Oh, yeah, true. It's they have an analytic in their name, so...
Yeah.
We don't have anything that relates to CS in our name, so like, our salary is like, dwindling.
Oh, no. ChatGPT will replace us.
Probably. I don't know.
I think CompSci will get replaced first because like OpenAI is like trying to program their AIs to replace their own programmers, right?
So, oh yeah. Well, we actually have
we are safe as chemical engineers for now.
They already have a lot of AI to replace the programmer, like Copilot or
Guide.
ChatGPT is just like, if you don't understand something, some concept, I guess, then you just ask it. This is more like theoretical than like practical coding. That's in my opinion like that. Actually, you can still ask the ChatGPT about like control PID of our thing. And yeah, sometimes return the correct answer, sometimes don't. But, yeah, usually you can guess.
Maybe I should try.
You can try.
You're in CM5122, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we... At one point, right, like our prof just told us, oh yeah, you can use ChatGPT to do the tutorial questions. And then when I compare ChatGPT answer to HiSys, they give me the entire different answer.
Yeah.
So like, I asked like, what's the bubble point of dew point of some mixture, right? And they gave me a bubble point that's higher than the dew point temperature.
Yeah, I mean like, ChatGPT is just like a historical model. It's only know about like, historical data, that's just already learned. So there may be something wrong with it, something right. Yeah.
It's really like that. So, why come to NUS? Like, why pick this uni specifically?
Okay, it's actually a quite quite a funny story, I guess. It started my last year in high school. So basically, there's one day, me and my friend sitting together and like just googling the salary. Like, yeah, because in high school in Vietnam, I plan to study to become a chemist. Uh-huh. And then I googling the salary of a chemist and yeah, and then realized like, okay, so I can't study here. And after 10 years, I will have a salary of like 3K. Yeah, 10 years to become like senior chemist or something and then get 3K of salary. Mm-hmm. That's actually quite high compared to the living wage in Vietnam. So, yeah. And then also some demon or something, just Googling the other country salary to see. And I try to Google Singapore, like, the salary is actually quite good. You can have an opportunity to study abroad. So yeah, me and my friend just decided to, we will apply to Singapore then. Yeah, that's actually it's quite straightforward, I guess. Fair. Then yeah, besides like, because this is the last year in high school, so we don't have a lot of time to prepare for essay if we mm-hmm. want to go to US or Europe mm-hmm. or something. So yeah.
Just go Singapore.
Singapore, NUS and NTU. And then yeah, I got offer from NUS and NTU both. But then I dropped NTU, of course.
But why you drop NTU though?
Okay, this is another story. So actually I got chemistry in NTU and chemical engineering in US. Uh-huh. And one of my senior, like he's studying like at that time he's studying like year 3 or something in NTU chemistry also. We are in the same, what's that called? Same
school?
Same school. Same kind of class, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he said that, okay, so this is an honest advice. Please go to chemical engineering at NUS. The future is more open compared to studying chemistry in NTU. Yeah. I mean, like, and then I just, I will listen to you and choose chemical engineering. At that time, I still think that chemical engineering is still related to chemistry, just that not a lot like chemistry. But the entire thing is wrong. So,
so you thought like chemical engineering is a bit less chemistry than chemistry, and then you realize that it's actually a lot less chemistry than chemistry, lah.
Yeah, I thought like if chemistry is like 100% and chemical engineering is around like 60% chemistry, uh-huh. something physics, there, uh-huh. yeah, that actually is like 10% chemistry or something. I think the last time I used chemistry is like in chemical kinetic and reactor design module, I guess.
Oh, 2116.
Yeah, 2116.
Right.
Yeah, besides from that, I never use chemistry again.
I mean, like, you kind of have to know like some chemistry concepts. Kind of like the Arrhenius equation is pretty much it's chemical kinetics concept, right?
Yeah, true. But you only learn that from like CN2116, right? The rest is what are we studying? We're studying fluid mechanics. We're studying thermodynamics.
Fugacity.
Yeah, fugacity. Oh my god. Do you even remember what is fugacity?
Do you remember what fugacity is though? Because I don't even know what fugacity is then.
I don't remember anything anymore. I still keep the book, but yeah, it's told me remembering that. No, I don't remember anything.
So okay, no need to remember one.
Yeah, and then fluid particle. What is even fluid and particle? Separation process. You see anything that related to chemistry there? No, there's only one mod that's related to chemistry. And like with the higher mod, what we learn? We learn HiSys, we learn MATLAB. That's basically coding. And furthermore, you can have like optimization, case study. Yeah, there's no chemistry here,
just,
bro.
Just engineering, huh?
Just engineering, just pure engineering.
So, you mentioned that you came to Singapore because you expected that the salary that you get will be high, right?
Yeah, like more work prospect, I guess.
But I mean, like, Singapore cost of living is also equally high, right? So, you're willing to take that risk, like, spend more upfront so you can get more later, lah.
Yeah, that's my main motive when coming here. Like, I consider this as a kind of investment because I got exposure to like a more international environment. And yeah, I also have later on higher salary.
This is also even compared to, let's say, US or Europe.
Okay, as a person who has go exchange to Europe, then I think it's quite comparable to exposure there. I mean, maybe it's a little bit more because in Europe, they don't really open to other person beside like white person. So yes, like they still open, of course, but not very much. Yeah, not as much.
So racism is real in Europe.
Yeah, racism is real. I guess tough. When in Germany, I get like ni hao. Yeah, I just get people going ni hao.
Like, that's like the wrong country already. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, why? Yeah, racism is real there. So if you guys want to like go to Europe or like even Europe, then yeah, please aware of this first. You might get some cultural racism shock there.
Oh no, I'm sorry to hear that. But
it's okay.
Do you feel that in Singapore also?
Singapore, no. I mean, like, I think like Singapore because it's more like Asian. So okay, of course, there's some kind of separate between Singaporean and other people, but still it's not as bad. That it's negligible. You can consider that negligible. So
okay,
yeah,
interesting. So what are the expectations that you have of NUS before you came to NUS, other than the high salary that you get after you graduate and work 10 years here, right?
What expectation, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, actually, I think I will ask you first. What is your expectation when you come to NUS?
Nothing really.
Why? Or why is nothing? You come to like the top one university in Asia, so why is it like zero expectation?
I don't even know that it's top 1% in Asia until like I got accepted and then tell my friends, and then my friends tell me that it's top one in Asia.
What?
The thing is, NUS is actually my backup option.
You apply for US, right?
Yeah, some are in US. I mean, like ranking wise, right? NUS is the highest rank that accepted me for some reason. But when I apply, I don't even really look at ranking. I mean, like, I roughly know, like, oh yeah, it's ranked this much in the world. But at the end of the day, like, what I want doesn't really correlate with the university rankings. I want to go to a certain uni because I look at their website and think their culture is good, or they have some interesting, like, programs or opportunities, not really just because of rank.
Okay.
But what about you though? Do you look for rank when you come to NUS, like you pick this because it's number one easier or something?
Yeah, it's kind of like one of my deciding factor. Actually, like, I list on the top university in Asia. It's like there's NTU in US, Peking and Shanghai in China, and the rest is in like Korea, Japan. Yeah, and I mostly choose Singapore because, like, first of all, it's quite near to Vietnam. It's like only 2-hour flight from here to Vietnam. So yeah, basically I can go back and visit my family quite often.
Fair.
And secondly, like, the curriculum is taught in English. So yeah, compared to the other school, yeah, I think that's the main reason why I applied to NUS.
So because you can speak English already and you don't want to learn new language, lah.
Yeah, it takes time to learn new language and
true. Especially like you need to learn like specialized language like straight away, right?
Yeah, you have to learn a technical term in that language just to study the course. It's kind of like a lot of work, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, and besides, I don't want to have one year gap just to do that. I know some people just gap 1 year to like prepare a CV, study the language or something. But yeah, I just want to
go straight to uni, become one of the youngest people in NUS.
Now, not the youngest people anymore.
I mean, like, when you came, like, you're considered one of the youngest people in NUS.
Yeah, 18. Actually, 17.
17, right?
Yeah, 17.
Yeah, it's really damn young, like.
Yeah.
No, I'm much older than that, and all the male freshies are still older than me, so it really is like that, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, so how's your experience in NUS so far?
My experience, So particularly NUS or like Singapore in overall?
I think why not both?
Okay, so maybe Singapore in overall now. So I think that Singapore is quite a good country, mm-hmm. quite beautiful, and it's not a really good nightlife here.
Oh wow!
Yeah, maybe I should not share this one, but yeah, before I come to Singapore, I always sleep at like around like 2 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
But after I come to Singapore, the earliest I sleep is like 4 p.m. or something, and sometimes I just awake and just stay awake until like 6, 7, have breakfast and then go to sleep again. Yeah, it's
you're a good demographic for all the nightclubs here.
Yeah.
Do you go nightclub often?
No, not often. Just staying up late and read manga, studying.
Eat super snacks.
Yeah. Yeah, eat snack, eat ramen, order Kim Lee.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, basically, I'm a typical night owl student here.
Yeah. The good thing about Singapore, I think, is supper culture exists. So even if you want to go out at like 1 a.m., then you can meet your dorm mates also, right? Out
yeah.
there eating.
So back in my first and second year, like, Our Vietnamese friends like usually gather around like 2 p.m. in the lounge and then just watch TV. Yeah. Or usually if they are too busy, then like everybody just got a laptop and do it on their own. But just do that. Mm. Yeah, so you can basically meet. Yeah. At a time, I basically can meet any Vietnamese, at least one Vietnamese friend of mine at any hour.
In the lounge.
Yeah, in the lounge.
Mm.
Yeah, which is we basically occupy the lounge. So, okay, so that is for Singapore. So maybe in NUS, it's actually quite a very refreshing experience studying here, especially like there's a lot of opportunity. I mean, for student, I mean, you can like get in with the primary major and then you can either switch major, taking another second major, taking two minor. There's a lot of things to do here, especially if you're an international student, then it's mostly and you will stay in hall or RC in the first 2 years, right? So mm-hmm. there's also a lot of activity.
Mm-hmm.
I myself like in the debate group in the first year, but yeah, it's just collapsed anyway. So yeah, the group just died.
Oh no.
It's not a lot. Yeah, badminton and also like we can use freely the facility here, the gym, the swimming pool, everything.
Yeah.
So it's very convenient for me, I guess.
Nice.
Although I'm not using those facilities that much.
Yeah. But at least you know it's there, lah.
Yeah.
If you don't want to use.
Yeah, yeah, true.
So for your first 2 years, you stay in an RC, right?
Yeah, it's like in LVRC.
How has that been?
The first 2 years. Okay, so for the first years, basically just COVID. So we are dividing into zone. I think you still remember that experience, right?
Yeah, zone A, zone B, C,
yeah,
and D,
zone
right?
A, B, C. So basically, we only play around with people in our zone, and like it's the life is quite depressing, I guess.
So you can only meet fellow engineers, lah.
Yeah, fellow engineer. Yeah, in block C and in zone A, and yeah, I would say that. Because my lab is closed for the first semester because like the closed room restriction thing.
Mm.
Yeah, so actually it's quite depressing. Mm-hmm. But after that, I think it's quite a refreshing experience, I guess. Yeah, because after the zone is lifted, then we can have like breakfast and dinner together at the dining hall.
Right.
And the lounge is also open, although you still need to wear a mask when coming to the lounge. Maybe sometime I don't wear a mask and just come into the lounge directly. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Life with mask, huh?
Yeah, then there's a lot of interested group also growing back again because they can have an offline meeting. I come to the badminton group for some time and then I just too lazy to come anymore. But yeah, in the time that I come, they actually quite fun. A lot of people like Singaporean who's like not very familiar in the first semester. And yeah, I still keep contact with them right now.
Oh, nice, nice. Well, I think my experience a bit different from yours. Since I stay in hall, then from my first semester, I can already eat in dining hall. It's just that, I think that time was like groups of five. Then when Singapore opened up for dining in groups of eight, then accordingly, then our dining hall also can do groups of eight. And when Singapore bans dining in, then, well, we cannot dine in also in the dining hall. So it's just like follow Singapore rules and stuff. Like, yeah straight true. Up, no, cannot eat. Quite interesting lah.
Actually, that's a memorable experience when studying like the, you know, like in RC, like different from the hall that we don't need to do activity to stay, right? We need to like study the mod.
Oh yeah, the RC mod. Right?
Yeah, the RC mod. So actually, because we don't have to study the same exact mod, then we usually just register the same tutorial slot. Yeah, so that's what, of course, who would want to study ES or who would want to study GQ, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody. Yeah, that's right, nobody. So usually, like, I would be, and the tutorial is like 9 a.m. in the morning. So usually, there would be someone who knock on my room. Yeah, my friend would knock on my room to, like, call me up, wake me up, and prepare to go. But sometimes I just like, that's one day I'm too lazy, I'm too sleepy to come. When he knocking on my room, and I just say, oh, I just skip this day, just skip today. And then he just skip it. And my other friend texts him and asks like, hey, where are you? Are you coming down? And he's like, no, I'm quite like too sleepy right now. So I'm going to sleep also. So the third friend just going to sleep also. So basically, like, we all three just skip together. I think that's a quite fun memory there.
Getting people to sleep with you, lah.
No. Yeah. Okay. Getting people to sleep, not sleep with me.
Okay, lah. Maybe not sleep with you, lah. Sleep at the same time as you, lah. Right?
Yeah. Just skip the class and then go to sleep.
Oh my gosh. Nice. Oh, but at least you can SU your mod, right?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, C and then SU.
Luckily, I still got enough grade for a C and then an S. Oh, C.
Nice. Can still SU.
Yeah, can still SU.
In hindsight, like, you could just sleep more, then you get D and then you can still SU and it becomes an S. Maybe, yeah.
No. At that time, the minimum SU grade is C, not D.
Yeah, but I think it's retroactively applied, right? Is it?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
So, what are the interesting modules or topics that you learned so far in NUS?
Is it only in NUS? Can the module in my exchange program count?
I mean, can also lah.
Okay, so maybe this is just a bias because, yeah, I'm studying second major in CS. So, I would say that CS 1010 is an interesting subject. Okay, this may, a lot of K-Mang students who listen to this podcast may disagree. I know you disagree, right?
CS 1010 is interesting lah. I feel like most engineers would disagree with that also. Because we all hate CS 1010 because it's not really related to engineering. It's just that people who code can flex on their friends who don't code. That's literally the point of CS 1010 and it's variance lah, honestly.
Okay, true. It's kind of like more rewarding to people who already know how to code and like penalize people who don't. But still, it's quite an interesting subject. In CS 1010, they teach you how to solve. Okay, basically, every model engineer teach you how to solve problem. But I don't know. CS 1010 make you think more logically, I guess.
I mean, like, that's the point of programming, like, to apply logic.
Yeah, apply logic more and that. And I don't know, maybe engineers more like you have a mix of intuition, right? Uh-huh. So you have a problem, then your intuition said, okay, I have encountered this problem somewhere. So I can recall how I have solved the problem. And yeah. So for CS 1010, it's like more structural. You have this problem. You have to divide into like sub-problem or something to solve each of them. So yeah, I think that's a that's an interesting module. Don't hit me, please.
I like how what you find interesting is like the intro module, huh?
Yeah. Actually, no. There's some other model. I will also fly the fluid, the CN2122, the fluid dynamic model is quite interesting. Mostly because the lecturer is quite good. Sui Kun. But I think she's retired. No, she's not.
She moved out of NUS.
Yeah.
She's now not teaching anymore.
Yeah, Sui Kun. She's actually a quite good teacher. Like, she always answer our question very timely.
That's good. I think a lot of people like Sui Kun also.
It's quite a pity to...
Yeah, she to her notes now. Though. It's goated, yeah.
Yeah, she goated. She's the goat.
Wait, your CN2122 is with Sui Kun?
CN2122A with Sui Kun.
Wow. My paths are different. I don't know if it's because we take in different classes.
It's different, Sam. I studying on like the first year, Sam 2.
Oh, you took it earlier, lah.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Actually, I had to cry to take the module because they only say like, okay, this module is only applicable for a year 2 student. And I'm like, no, please, I need to go to NOC, I need to go to SCP, I need to take a second major. And then they just allow me to take it.
They let you take it.
Yeah, it's actually quite easy, yeah.
Wow, nice.
Again, a lot of people will disagree with me, but yeah.
I would disagree though. Like, my lowest grade in my entire NUS life is from CN2122A. But again, like, my profs are different. Yeah. I took it in year 2 sem 1, so my profs are Jiang Jiawen and Chen Xingbo. So, it's a different experience, I feel.
Okay.
They are literally the polar opposite of how Sui Kun would teach.
Yeah, Sui Kun is quite interactive. It's the only way. Actually, I think mine is like Sui Kun and Jiang Jinbo. For like half, but like. Sui Kun teach the first half, so I got a quite good basic, I guess.
Uh huh. Then Jiang Jinbo teach the second half, right? Then, then how do you feel about Jiang Jinbo then?
I would rather read from the textbook because it's more intuitive than
listen
to the slide. He's just reading from the slide, so. Yeah.
I mean, like, don't all lecturers do that to some extent?
No, it's like everything in the slides, read it. Everything in the textbook, he's read it. I would say slow pace.
Yeah, Chen Xingbo is quite slow.
Yeah, slow pace. So I would rather read on my own. At my own pace, it's even faster.
Fair.
So may I ask, what's your grade for 2122A?
C.
C?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. What else?
And I think that's the reason why I cannot like SCP because I got a C in one of my core mods.
Well, I thought that in SCP they only care about the grade the first year, right?
I don't know. I applied in year 2 sem 1 and I got my SCP application result after my 2122A grades are released. So
they only care about the year 1. Thing, because you need to submit your first year grade.
Right.
Yeah, so they only care about the first year grade.
So it's not like perpetual, like even if you get all C in year 2 sem 1, theoretically you can still go SCP lah.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, that's good to hear. That's very reassuring. So what are the interesting mods that you learned during your exchange?
I would say that every mod is interesting in its own way, but for me, my preference would be the case study for... Okay, there's a model that maps to like case study for chemical engineering here.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one that maps to like optimization for chemical engineering, the CN5111.
Oh, wow.
Okay, this may be a little bit biased because I got a quite high grade for those models. So it's maybe a little bit biased toward that. For the case study, basically, you just solve the case. For each week, you have a case that you need to solve on Aspen Plus. Yeah, they use Aspen Plus over there, not HiSys. Mm-hmm. Aspen Plus, and you have to write a report to that. So basically, you have to like perform, and you also have to perform like sensitivity analysis and optimization.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you have 6 weeks of studying a model there. So there's 6 cases to study.
Mm-hmm. So each week you need to make a report la.
Yeah, each one you need to make a report. So 6 reports also.
Mm.
Yeah, and for the optimization, so basically you are taught some very basic optimize. So you have taught like LP, linear programming, nonlinear programming, mixed integer, nonlinear programming. So basically, you can imagine like this. So you have two types of reactor, right? So you can choose between the reactor one or reactor two or both of them or neither of them. Mm-hmm. So how would you encoding that to mathematical form? So you just use like use the variable like x1, x2, which where like x1 equal to 0 and x is denoted to not choosing the reactor 0, x1 equal to 1 choosing the reactor 1. Yeah, it's very basic thing to do. And after that, also have a big project on Aspen Plus just to like model the thing and perform optimization on it to get the, yeah, it's like the first homework of the 4122. Yeah, optimizing the cost and stuff like that. So yeah, I think that those are very interesting model. I think in here, if you guys want, and I think you should take it, it's kind of like open, I guess. It's not specific to like petrochemical or pharmaceutical. It's more like more applicable, more general.
I see. Hey, yo, econ majors hearing this podcast, come take CM for 122 and suffer with us.
Actually,
music majors welcome also.
CM for 122, one of the easier mod for you guys.
Yeah, trust me, if you're taking music, this is going to be easier than your junior recital mod.
Yeah, you just need to calculate like what's that called? A capital cost, manufacturing cost,
grassroots cost,
grassroots cost,
total module cost,
total module cost,
depreciation, after tax income.
Yeah, after tax income, NPV,
what's the ROI, DCF, ROR.
Oh my god, that's a lot of acronym. Okay.
Yeah, welcome to Econs. So, now that you've been in chemical engineering for like 3 years, how would you describe chemical engineering?
How would I describe chemical engineering? That is quite... Okay, maybe you first. How would you describe chemical engineering?
Chemical engineering is about optimizing chemical processes to ensure that the desired results can be achieved with the lowest cost and resource utilization.
Are you recapping the CN4122 thing?
Not really. I mean, like, the entire point of whatever you learn is to find out like, what can get you the lowest cost or resource utilization, right? I mean, like, it's not just 4122. 4122 is... well, application of everything else. I mean, like, you go 3132, you learn about number of trays so that you can minimize the number of trays, right? Or minimize the reflux ratio or whatever else. Then you go to 2116, then you find out, like, how do we model this reactor in terms of ideal reactors and other stuff like that. So 4122 is just a combination for me, you know.
Okay.
What we learn. What about you, though?
So chemical engineering for me is study about like how to upscale the process, how to safely and economically upscale a process to produce the chemical that is needed. So yeah, for I actually it's quite remember the safety mod.
Oh, right.
What's that called? The CN3...
3135?
Yeah, 3135. Yeah, they show me like what would go wrong if there's a error in the product. Process intensification. So if you like upscale a process without like removing enough heat or something, then something bad will happen. Yeah. Like the, what's that called? The Bhopal accident in India.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. The one of the most disastrous chemical in this. Yeah. So you have to ensure that first and then maybe like you start to optimizing thing.
So optimize for safety, they optimize for cost.
Yeah, you have to safely upgrade first and then you optimize later.
But I feel like those dangers should be identified even in a lab scale, right? Because like it's just much smaller, right? Like let's say the reaction is exothermic, then in the lab you know that the reaction is exothermic already. It's just that the effect is not much. Let's say in a beaker, the beaker explodes, then there's not much effect to human life, right? But let's say in a chemical plant, the tank explodes, then...
Yeah, basically, like, because you in the lab, you can control the quantity, and this is not that a lot, and you have like the fume hood and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Actual chemical plant, like, who would have the hood for like 5,000 liters of the toxic chemical or something?
The outside air is your fume hood, lah. Really.
Yeah. Wait, and actually I learned another thing is that when there's an outburst in chemical plant or something,
uh-huh.
then just stand under the shower. Don't run outside.
That yeah. is from which mod? CN3101?
No, that's just my opinion from seeing the safety video. I mean, like, because normally, like, the worker will spray water, try to make the gas condense, right?
Uh-huh.
And usually the people who run outside is going to be the first one to die. So, yeah.
Because it was spread,
Yeah,
because
the gas will spread around and you cannot outrun the gas, right? It will become a plume. Yeah, you cannot outrun the wind and stuff like that. So, yeah, just from observation, then just stand under the shower. Just put the shower on the maximum and then just stand there until the rescue come.
And then the water will absorb the gas. Lah. This is 3132 material already. Yeah.
yeah.
So, do you have any tips for aspiring chemical engineering students, you know, much like yourself when you're in high school?
Okay, so this is for the one who study chemistry. So, if you really, really like chemistry and you only want to do chemistry, then don't do in chemical engineering. Because, yeah, as we have said, chemical engineering doesn't do anything with chemistry. It's like 10% or something. And the only thing you will do is like Arrhenius equation. Yeah, stuff like that. Only that. Maybe some like...
Kinetic order.
Yeah, kinetic order. Basically, just chemical kinetic and stuff like that. Maybe chemical thermodynamic also.
Stoichiometry.
Yeah, stoichiometric. Yeah, just that. Okay, but if you really... if you're kind of like interesting in upscaling, like chemical process. Yeah, and then... okay, right now, right? Like, we also very fond of chemical process in the actual plant, then, yeah, just come to chemical engineering. And one piece of advice I would give for you is just to focus on the basic. Just build a very tough foundation first, because a lot of things that we learn after, we rely a lot on the foundation. So, on the math, the calculus model, especially the calculus, maybe a little bit of linear algebra. I would say numerical and statistical is also important for you, but yeah, you would be revised later. Yeah, and maybe one special concept is like the mass and energy balance.
Fugacity also.
No. Just ignore fugacity. Fugacity, you can learn. You can write in the cheat sheet later. Just ignore fugacity.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my one piece of advice, and maybe don't stress over of the mark. I mean, like, I know a lot of people got a very good marks and a lot of people who don't. But in reality, like, the marks is only important if you want to, like, pursue higher study or you want to, like, work in the government sector. But, uh-huh. yeah, after the first internship, then mostly nobody gonna notice about your mark anymore. Yeah, okay. That's what I get from my senior.
Oh, okay, that's good to hear.
And maybe if you want to go to SCP, then just SU every model that is like A- below in the first year. Just pump up the grade. Just have a great inflation and then just go to SCP later.
And then get even more SU.
Yay! Yeah, that's one trick of advice for me.
Okay. That's good to hear. If only I'm in SCP, yeah. So, to recap, right? If you want to make small explosion, go for chemistry. If you want to make large explosion, go for chemeng, correct?
Yeah, true. If you want to be like if you want to be water white, then go to chemistry. If you want to be an operator, it sounds so bad. Okay, so for chemistry, you would basically stand in a lab all day. So if you want to sit down and do a chemical engineering, if your love for chemistry is bigger than the need to sit down and do chemistry. Just that.
Okay. I'll take that. Maybe past Gio needs to hear this also. Okay, anyway, let's move on to another topic. So you moved from Vietnam to Singapore, right? Just to come to this particular university.
Yes.
So what are the major differences that you find between Vietnamese and Singapore culture? Earlier you mentioned that, you know, in Vietnam there's not much nightlife. In Singapore there's nightlife, right? What else do you find?
to be correct, there's still nightlife in Vietnam.
Uh-huh.
But just that if I stay in Vietnam, then usually I won't have that nightlife because I was staying with my parents. And yeah, you will know that.
So it's just because you don't stay with your parents, then you can enjoy the nightlife in Singapore.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I can stay awake until whatever I want and nobody gonna say anything, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so the obvious difference are the language spoken here. So in Vietnam, we speak Vietnamese, right? So in here, they speak like English, Chinese, Malay, Indo. Like a mixture of language is spoken here.
Uh-huh. In Vietnam, not as much. It's just straight Vietnamese.
Yeah. And maybe like the next one should be like the food. Yeah, okay. Have you ever eaten Vietnamese food?
In Singapore, yeah. I mean, like, there's literally a Vietnamese restaurant just like 5 minute walk from where I live.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. It's Pham Nguyen, right? It's very good. It's also halal.
Oh, yeah. What do you think? It's nice, huh?
Yeah, it's nice. I like the spring roll.
Oh, nice, nice. You know, sometimes I perform there also. Like, I mean, this CCA called Yusof Band. And then, like, on some days, we perform there. It was like every 2 weeks, but we stopped already.
Oh, okay.
Have you ever came and we were performing?
No. We always come when you're not performing.
Yeah, because we perform at like around 8 p.m. What time you come? 1?
No, we usually come around like 6.
6?
6 p.m.
Yeah, yeah. That's.
I don't think it's open until 1.
Right, yeah. I forgot. They close at 12.
Yeah, they close very soon. It's close very soon compared to the other. Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
So, yeah, maybe it's about the food. Yeah, you have already eaten the Vietnamese food here, so yeah. You can say that. Is it different from the original like chicken rice and mala in Singapore? It's definitely different, right?
Yeah.
It's like...
I mean, chicken rice and mala are not Vietnamese food or Singaporean food in the first place, right?
Okay, so do you have any example for like authentic Singapore food?
Oh man, probably chili crab. That's like the only one I can think of.
Is it laksa? It's laksa, it's authentic.
I mean, I guess there are different versions of laksa. Laksa is, I don't think laksa is started in Singapore, but there's a Singaporean version of laksa at least.
Okay. Yeah, true. Okay, yeah, but compared to it, I would say like the food here is a little more oily and spicy compared to like the squid and clear broth of like
In Vietnam. So this is like a comparison between the Vietnamese food lah.
Yeah,
in here in Vietnam.
Different. And the last one is like the holidays. So I have one culture shock when coming here is that the Lunar New Year here.
Oh, right.
Like Singapore only celebrate like 2 days.
Uh-huh.
In Vietnam, we celebrate like 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's quite a lot.
So then all the shops are closed for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of foreigner like calf starving in those 2 weeks.
Because everything is closed.
Yeah, everything is closed.
Wow. It's kind of like China, huh? They really celebrate Chinese New Year still.
Yeah, I think this kind of like influence from China also.
Yeah.
Have a very long Lunar New Year.
I see.
Yeah, I think that should be the major difference between I would see.
I see. So how did you adapt to life in Singapore after like being in Vietnam and, you know, experiencing like the long Chinese New Year holidays and other stuff?
I mean, I'm a very easy to adapt person. So maybe when I first come to Singapore, I feel like I cannot listen to anything here. Yeah, the accent is very different. Yeah,
oh, yeah.
I cannot adapt to that. So but
need to learn English lah.
Yeah, need to learn English lah. Yeah, actually, at the time, I don't even understand what the prop is saying. I have to, like, slow down the video to, like, 0.75 something just to understand.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, now I'm, like, speeding the video to 2x.
You're the opposite of quite a lot of my friends. Like, many of my friends were just, like, times two the video, no matter who the prof is. Then you're just there, oh, you're 0.75 because I don't understand.
Yeah, it's like the first few months, basically the first semester here.
Mm-hmm.
Because the English here is different from the English I hear from TV or like I hear from back in high school. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you need time to adapt to it, right?
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's why you should have watched Crime Watch before you came to Singapore. Then you can adapt to the Singapore
English
language.
I think I stopped after 2 months, I guess. And I perfectly okay with, like, listen to the prof and we even order mala. I learned that, like, shala is a least spicy. Shala and, tapao and stuff like that.
Okay, that's good then.
Yeah, and maybe for the holiday, skipping the first Lunar New Year because it's kind of a cultural shock for me.
Why is it only 2 days?
Yeah, why is it only 2 days? Oh my god, I need more. But after that, like, it's become a norm, I guess, because you don't have to expect, like, you only have 2 days off, so it doesn't really matter anymore.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, I'm a very easy to adapt person.
Okay, that's very nice to hear. You know, you just started off like, oh yeah, I need to listen to Prof at 0.75, but in 2 months you can listen.
You listen to 2 weeks.
two times speed lah.
Yeah, you have to evolve lah.
Nice. So if you hear like 2 episodes before this, the one with Agatha, right? I think I mentioned about like getting used to like all the JC names in Singapore. Do you experience something like that too?
Okay, so initially I keep messing up with the Hua Chong with the Changhua in China.
Oh.
Yeah, like, oh, wow, they come from Changhua. Like, wow.
But fact is just Hua Chong.
Yeah, fact is just Hua Chong. Yeah, and I mean, I know a few more, like NUS Girl Boarding School, is it?
Isn't it NUS High?
Or is it Nanyang Girl Boarding School?
I mean, like, there are quite a few boarding schools out here, yeah.
And then NUS High.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, of course, NUS High is quite famous.
And like, it's just across the campus, right?
Yeah, it's just across the campus. And then I have to differentiate between the polytechnic and university.
I come from DP, right? And then you're like, what is DP?
Yeah, like, what? But then I realized, okay.
So what do you miss about Vietnam?
I don't know, to be honest.
You don't miss anything? You don't miss the change cost of living also?
I mean, yeah, at the first place when I like convert and everything to like Vietnam down, I'm like, oh my god, why so everything is so expensive?
Right.
But then I gradually realized, okay, just don't convert the currency and then everything is gonna cheap again. Yeah, kind of like ignorance is bliss.
It really be like that, huh? Yeah. I hear a lot of my Malaysian or Indonesian friends say the same thing also.
Yeah, because when you first come to a country and you tend to convert everything to your currency, right? If you convert the thing, then you find, oh my god.
Why is it so expensive?
Why is the chicken rice is so expensive?
Why is the chicken rice at 45,000 dong?
Why? I can have a bowl of pho here, something. And you realize the bowl of pho is like $10, $12. It's like, I don't know.
Oh no. 150,000 dong.
Yeah, 100,000. Yeah, something. But then you realize, okay, just don't convert anything and everything should be fine.
It is all cheap by Singaporean standards.
Yeah, but it's cheap by Singaporean standards.
You know, the other day I was talking to like one of my Singaporean friends, right, about eating out. Then like we were like, oh yeah, we want something cheap. Then my friend was like, oh yeah, this one is cheap. Like, it's less than $10. I was like, wait. Oh, wait, so what? That's cheap for you? I think cheap is less than $5. Eh?
Yeah, I also think your cheap is less than $5.
I think international students are built different lah.
Yeah, I mean, there's still, even though that you don't convert to your own currency, there's still a barrier that prevents you to spend more money.
Yeah, your pocket money lah, right?
Yeah.
It'll be like that.
Do you miss your parents?
Somewhat.
Somewhat.
What about you?
I don't know, maybe somewhat also. Okay. I mean, I'm not a very fawning person with my family, so it's kind of like a solo wolf, I guess. Yeah. Maybe I miss my girlfriend.
Oh, long distance relationship.
Yeah.
Where's your girlfriend now? Vietnam?
Yeah, still Vietnam.
So you come back, meet your girlfriend then?
Yeah, still come back and still together, so
nice la, 3 years long distance relationship. But does your girlfriend visit you though in Singapore?
No.
God damn it.
You have to like have an occasion
to come to Singapore. I mean, the occasion is to meet your boyfriend, la. Isn't that not an occasion already on its own?
No, la. You have to still have the money, la.
Fair enough.
Yeah. It's, okay, for us, it's the flight is quite cheap. But okay, for them, it's not that cheap, I guess. It's like 1 year of tuition fee there.
Like, to fly to Singapore?
Yeah. Yeah, the tuition fee in Vietnam is quite cheap.
Oh, you mean like cheap compared to tuition fee? Because I thought like, wait, why is it different from flying to Vietnam to Singapore?
Oh, no. Yeah, because the Vietnamese tuition fee is quite cheap.
Right. So, means that if you can come to Singapore, then you have money to go to Vietnam and back, right?
Yeah.
Okay, fair. I'll say that. Yeah. One last question. Where do you get authentic Vietnamese food in Singapore?
Okay, so maybe you already heard about it. So there's a Vietnamese restaurant, Hala certified, over the what's that road called?
Super Stretch.
Yeah, Super Stretch there. It's called Pham Wing. Yeah, Pham Wing. You have to go a little bit further, a little bit more after Amen. Yeah, and then you see the thing. Yeah, they actually sell quite good, and I would say that quite affordable. Pho and spring roll. I definitely very like the spring roll. It's very authentic. So more, I would say in Jurong East, there's also a pho in the basement. It's also quite good.
What's it called?
I don't really remember. Let me search for that. I think you just call pho 13 or something. Yeah. No thanks. And there's still Little Saigon. You know that?
Jurong?
No. Little Saigon is in Bugis.
Bugis.
Yeah.
I think I've heard it.
Yeah, it's in around Bugis. So we usually go to.
Okay, maybe next time we go Bugis, I try.
Yeah. We usually go to there to eat first, eat pho first. And we go to Achiu Dessert. Yeah, so I think that should be it. There's also some other place, but I don't really remember where because I'm not the one who searched the place. There's actually one place that have a... Okay, so in Vietnam, we have a drinking culture. So that place is so quite a good beer, I guess. Yeah. So how about you? Where do you find the authentic Indonesian food here?
I've not found any, honestly.
Really?
Okay. I guess authentic, there are quite a few places. But good authentic, I cannot find any.
Why?
I don't know. It's just like that. Like, I've tried some restaurants which are like branches of actual restaurants in Indonesia that just opens like a branch in Singapore. And the food quality and portion is... much worse in Singapore. Just to give an example, right? So in Indonesia, there's this upscale Minang restaurant called Sari Ratu.
Okay.
And they have a lot of branches in Indo, and they have 2 branches in Singapore. So at one point I went there, and then I tried out like some of their food, and then I come back to Indo, and then I eat Sari Ratu again. Then you see that, oh wow, like in Singapore, like it's half the portion size of the Indonesian one. And the price is not that much different also, like after converting lah. And some more like, some of the food items in Singapore are just like, I don't know lah. I'm sorry to say, but it's kind of inedible already, like by the standards of that food item. Like the one I remember is ayam pop. Like in here, the ayam pop is trash lah. Like not to say that it's actually like very bad in general, but in terms of what an ayam pop should be, it's definitely not it. So if you go Sari Ratu here, don't eat the ayam pop. Just go to Jakarta and eat ayam pop, and you'll get much more satisfaction because now you fly to Jakarta. to eat the Ayam Pop and you get to travel in Jakarta. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, maybe we'll visit Jakarta somewhere.
Yeah, come Jakarta.
Yeah, I think the first, like, yeah, I just visit Batam last Sunday. Last Sunday.
Oh, nice. How was Batam?
It was good. But I think we need some Indonesian guy. Because, we don't really know if the food is authentic or not or anything.
I mean, like, ask your driver, maybe your driver knows a bit more. You tell your driver, hey, I want to get something below 50,000 rupiah, see where your driver takes you.
I think we have a mee or something. Mee goreng.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's just a breakfast thing.
Did you try the fish soup though in Batam?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's quite good. It's quite good.
Nice. I think that's the Batam food or rather the Riau Islands food lah. So, because it's a cluster of islands, then what do they have? Fish lor. So
yeah, actually, we try chili crab.
Chili
crab Indonesian version. It's very spicy.
What spicy do they use? Mango spice?
I think it's mango spice.
Mango spice.
Yeah. It's very spicy compared to the chili crab in Singapore. Now I'm surprised.
Yeah, mango spice is quite spicy.
Yeah. In Singapore, chili crab is not spicy. It's just sweet, I guess.
Yeah. I think it kind of follows on from the Malay kind of spice. Like in Malaysia, most of the food are a bit sweet also. Which is the case if you go to certain parts of Indonesia, the parts that are more Malay influenced, the food that are a bit sweet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's all for today. Thank you, Kua, for coming to my podcast.
Okay. Thank you.
And as usual to my listeners, thank you for listening to my new podcast and see you all again in my new podcast episode.